Hello, I'm Renee Vaughan Sutherland, and welcome to Greater Than 11%, a weekly podcast that explores roles and opportunities within the creative industries, with the aim of contributing to increasing diversity across the board, in addition to promoting some awesome women. For episode 50, I'm joined by Emily Philp, founder of Flex Events, an awesome company providing event management and consultancy services. Emily completed a Masters of Arts in Spanish at Glasgow University, and post-graduating did a short stint working for Hot English Publishing in Spain as a director of studies before she joined NABS, the brilliant organisation supporting those working in the media and advertising industries. Her first role was working as a project manager, but she quickly progressed to senior project manager of events, where she was responsible for the creative and production process, ensuring exceptional event experiences. During this period, she won Wacol's Future Leader Award in 2012. She then went on to work for Ogilvy as an account manager for a period, while simultaneously taking up the role of president for Bloom, a professional network for women in communications that exists to help them fulfill their potential. In 2016, she went freelance, flexing her talents and strengths in event marketing and communication. And owing to her brilliance, she was soon booked, overbooked, and in high demand, resulting in her deciding to found Flex Events in 2017. She's quickly built the business up, and her clients include, but are not limited to, Adobe, The Hobbs Consultancy, Creative Equals, and Legends of Football. She's also part of Her Stories, an organisation that pools the talents of artists to help raise awareness for other women's stories, particularly those from marginalised groups. The aim is to build a community of women working together to make something positive from a negative situation. This is a particularly sentimental episode for me, as I was introduced to Emily about a year ago, who was keen to hear my thoughts about starting a podcast that aimed to chip away at the lack of diversity within the creative, advertising, media and comms industries. And it was Emily who gave me the final push I needed. Emily, it is with great delight to welcome you to Greater Than 11% on our 50th episode, a whisker from being a year since the podcast started.
Thank you so much. I'm so honoured to be here.
I am super excited.
This is really special.
Cool. So I wonder if we can start with what is involved as being a founder of an events company.
You have to have a lot of resilience, first and foremost. Being a founder, the pressure's on your shoulders. If you are fortunate to have a co-founder, that's great. But as a sole founder of my own company, I found it to be a huge learning process. It continues to be. But you, first and foremost, have to have resilience. You have to have a sense of humour because stuff can go wrong. And very early on, a lot of stuff goes wrong. You have to learn a lot from your mistakes. And you have to be really well organised because every hour of every day is precious to building your company.
Okay. And is there a typical day for you?
So my week is split up into two. I have a Monday and Friday where I usually work from home. I get up about 7:30, take my dog for a walk, get in front of my computer about 9 o'clock in the morning. I try to get through my to-do list on a Monday before midday, and then I can crack on with meetings and project work. But between Tuesday and Thursday, I work in town. I base myself at Soho House, and I work with my event coordinator, my assistant, who's amazing, and I set up meetings, and I go see clients and do any site visits during that period of the week. So it helps me manage my workload, but also feel like I'm getting on top of my work as the week goes on.
And quite a regular pattern. So you kind of know what to expect, but within those parameters, anything could happen, but...
It's true. I think in the lead up to events, all of that organisation goes out the window. You are basically chasing your tail, making sure that you're trying to finish stuff on time. So yes, in the lead up to events, it gets a bit crazy, but I try during the pre-production phase to make sure that I am organised, so I set myself up for that crazy period.
Okay, cool. So I've given a little bit of an overview in the intro, but can you give us a bit more detail, colour in kind of your creative journey up until now?
So I didn't really think I would ever be in the position where, number one, I'd be running my own events company, and number two, that I would be kind of fully embedded within the creative industries. I always felt that I wanted to do something creative, but I didn't quite know what it was. So I knew that I loved Spanish, which is why I moved to Spain and worked in an office environment, which helped me kind of build those admin skills. But coming back to London, I fell into this job at NABS. I worked my way up, like you said, and I figured out that I loved being given a challenge. I loved the idea of running events because it was super creative, but it also kind of lent itself to organisational skills. sales. It was very creative because you got to meet lots of different people, work on different projects. But I think really that the reason why I'm where I am today is because I'm so passionate about what I do that every day I wake up and I think, right, today is a good day. I run my own company. I love events. You know, let's see what the next challenge is.
It's amazing. So how did you get to that headspace? Because it takes a big leap because you went freelance.
Yes.
And then you decided to start the company because you're obviously so brilliant and everyone wanted you. What was that journey? Because that is a leap to going just working freelance.
Not, yes.
There's nothing wrong with that, but you know, taking jobs on as they come to then scaling up and taking on multiple jobs and people.
So I think actually the way it was really organic, the way it worked was that I started working freelance with a few companies, the Hobbs Consultancy and Creative Equals, and they were in their infancy stages of building certain events and certain projects. And actually I went on that journey with them. So I sort of grew as their companies grew. And I realized as they were growing their own businesses that I was actually setting up my own business. And because all my events have a social purpose angle to them, I realized that I could actually build a brand around this rather than it just being, let's do this random event project and then go on to the next one. And it's really nice to have that consistency every year to know that you're building on an event. So you're not just finishing and then that's it, you walk away. You're saying, okay, next year we can work on this. We're gonna make it bigger, we're gonna make it better. How can we make it more challenging for ourselves? So it was really a journey of growing, realizing that actually running a company was much more exciting than being freelance, and actually making sure that you had a brand purpose as well, which worked really well for me. So social purpose angle, that vein runs through all my events that I do.
And do you want to talk about that and how you came to that? Because that is key throughout everything you do. And actually, I think your purpose as a whole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as I started working at NABS, when I first moved to London, I also started working with my sister on an organisation called the East London Fawcett Society. So it was an East London arm of the Fawcett Society. It was all around building awareness around gender equality and predominantly in the creative industries. So my sister gave me a task quite early on. She said, I want you to run an event around gender equality in advertising. I'd never compared a panel before. I was about 21 years old. I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? So I pulled together lots of different speakers, some really inspiring people, and we put it on in, I think it was Sapient Night offices back when they were in near Liverpool Street, and 150 people came and we started creating this network, and it was just amazing. It was just this kind of grassroots movement that felt like everyone was super passionate about it. Now, nowadays in the industry, predominantly in the advertising media industry, we have so many amazing women's networks, but back then I didn't really know of any of them, so it felt great that I was building that and being part of that at the centre of it. So as I started growing my own business, it kind of naturally came about that I was going to bring the passion that I had for those gender equality events and kind of social purpose events and bringing it into what I was doing. So again, it happened quite naturally, but I think in the back of my mind, I always thought, if you're passionate about something in your personal life, why can't you bring it into your work life?
Nice. Okay. So what skills do you need to be an event and marketing comms manager?
You need to be very well organized, like I said. You need to be good with people. Have resilience. You need to know that things can change really quickly, so you need to be okay with change. So things can happen super quick. A client can decide to drop an idea and kind of go onto something next. Someone might cancel or whatever it is. That kind of period of flux you need to be good with. You also need to be a bit of an entrepreneur, because with events, they're constantly evolving. It's always growing, and I think that actually you have to be super creative, because events are creative. Everyone in their life either attends event or comes across an event, or you know, you do events in your personal life, whether it be running a birthday party or a friend's drinks or whatever it is. And I think that actually just that creativity and having fun with it is really important.
Can you talk a little bit more about the creativity within the process?
The angle that I come from is nothing's ever too much of a challenge. So whenever I sit down with my clients and they say, okay, we've got this kind of small idea, we want to run an event for 50 people and we're going to do it in this office space and, you know, this is the objective of it. I say to them, well, why don't we go bigger? Like, what do you want this to be about? You know, what is the objective of it? And let's make it bigger. Let's take it to a wider audience. So it's about kind of seeing possibilities beyond what the original brief is. And I also think that just being passionate about what you do means that you're injecting your own passion and creativity into something. Events are also all about people. So it's all about networking with people, engaging with people, kind of meeting different types of people, but people from different backgrounds. So being a part of that makes you feel really like you're kind of get the creative juices flowing. It kind of you get ideas from meeting different people, and you get ideas from kind of being in different environments. Mm. So that's kind of what I would say is the creative side of things.
Okay, cool. So in your freelancing, moving and setting up Flex Events, is there anything you've learned or experienced that you didn't anticipate?
Well, I didn't anticipate that I would be a founder of an events company, so that is definitely... I never thought I would be here at the age of 32. And it's really nice to feel like I have a sense of purpose every day when I wake up in the morning. So I never thought that that would be really important to me, but it's so important to kind of wake up and be happy about what you're going to do. The one thing that I've learned is actually that doing something wrong, failing, if you want to call it that, is really important, especially if you're a founder of a company, because you only learn from what you're doing wrong or kind of doing something and realizing that's not the right way and going in a different direction than if you're constantly on a path where you're not challenging yourself. So always push your boundaries. I have this idea in my head where there's three stages of kind of being comfortable in a job. You've got kind of the first stage where you're in a situation where you feel comfortable, you know what to expect from day to day, and you're not really kind of growing as a person. The number two, kind of pushing yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone. Sometimes you feel a bit excited about something and it kind of makes you say, I can do this. Number three is when you're always feeling like you're kind of on the edge. You don't know what's going to happen next and you're kind of in no man's land. And I think everyone should be in no man's land for at least a period of their career, because that actually helps you realize that you can learn new skills and be even better than you thought you were.
How did you find the confidence to take those risks, to take these leaps? Especially where, as you were saying, you didn't have this grand plan, like, I'm going to set up an events company.
Yeah.
So learning from mistakes is obviously key, but how did you find that pathway to going, I'm doing it, I'm taking up that mantle and doing it?
So early on in my career, in some of the jobs that I had, I was quite unhappy in them. I realised that I didn't really feel fulfilled, or I didn't feel like it was the right job for me. And I realized very early on that happiness in my job was really important. So when I started to make small shifts into kind of saying, okay, well, this is maybe what I want to do, so I'm going to kind of see if that works out. And it did work out. I thought, okay, so what's the worst that could happen? Let's try and do a bit more. So it was almost like a step-by-step process. But I think once you push yourself out there and you take a risk and it goes well, it's great. But once you push yourself out there and you take a risk and some things go wrong, you actually realize that what's the worst that could happen? You're like, okay, so that went wrong, but then next time I'm going to do it better. And it almost pushes you more. So the more risks you take, the more drive you have to actually do it better the next time. So I guess that's kind of my mantra sometimes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know, you get a thrill from it almost, you know. And sometimes it's like anything. If there's a crisis, I kind of love being in a crisis situation, because I think that you're kind of, the adrenaline's pumping and you're like, okay, how can we solve this issue? In the end, you're going to look back and some things will have gone wrong, but if you've got through it and you've done it in a way that you kind of, you've worked with people and you haven't been mean to anyone and you've made sure that you're trying to do it in, you know, in quite a methodical way, then actually you get to a stage where you're like, okay, risks are good and they push you and you feel good about it at the end.
Which is great, because I think there's so much negativity around failure, for a start, not risk taking, but failure and not doing something right or achieving or getting it.
Yes.
Especially for the perfectionists. You know, like, it has to be perfect. But also that notion that actually understanding what risks you can take as well. You're not just kamikaze going out there and just going, I can do this and et cetera. So I love that you kind of set yourself another risk and just push a little bit further each time. And I guess the payoff is like that adrenaline rush or that serotonin kick where you're like, I've done it.
Absolutely.
And I can do it again.
It's like, you know, doing a bungee jump, you know, you're absolutely terrified and it's stepping into the unknown. And then after you've done it, it's never as bad as you thought it would be. And you're like, wow, if I can do that, then what else can I do? And it opens up so many more possibilities for you. And I think that's really good. And I think with events especially, there is so much risk involved in getting it right. But really, the formula, kind of the formulaic way that you set up an event, you can follow that path. Mm. And you just kind of put these, kind of push yourself with risks in, you know, on the creative side of things, or saying we can make it bigger and better. And that just makes it much more fun.
So when we were at Rise and we were recording there, yes, we were an ocean of calm. Things were happening every time we saw you. We were like, oh, I that's fine. Things will go wrong and you just manage it. And that's such a lovely presence to be around, which obviously makes you why your company is so good.
Thank you.
Yes, I am plugging Flex Events. So how do you find work, or how does work find you?
Pretty much all my work has come from word of mouth, which is very lucky, especially because the advertising media industry is quite a small industry and that's where a lot of my clients are in. There's been a lot of word of mouth. Slowly, people say, okay, if you need an event planner to do a conference, you know, you should talk to Emily and she's involved in this group and etc. I do think that you need to know what platform works well for your business. So a lot of people stress about making sure you have a strong social media presence, which I think is right, but it's making sure you're promoting your business in the right way. Like, what is your message? Like, what is your brand? Make sure you know that before you start promoting it. Make sure you have your elevator pitch, because you never know who you're going to meet. And I do a lot of networking. I don't love networking, I kind of hate it, but I see it as almost like just hanging out with mates. And if you see it in a very relaxed way, everyone's a human, everyone wants to talk to everyone else. Most people are interested in other people and what they're doing. So it's just about being passionate about what you're doing, and that actually comes across when you're talking to people. So word of mouth, make sure you have a good presence on social, but know what your brand is, and make sure you know what platforms are right for you to promote it as well.
And you talked about branding. How did you work out your branding? Because that's actually quite key.
I think my branding is a work in progress. note to self, I will be doing a rebrand soon. But really, I think it's as you evolve as a founder of a company, you start to think that actually your brand needs to change, because it's not just about you, it's about the company and what the company represents. So I found at the beginning that I was just thinking about, you know, who I am as a person, and that's reflective of your brand. But really, it's good to sit down and have a proper creative brand process, you know, spend a lot of time on it, make sure you've got it right, make sure that you also bounce ideas off the other people. I've got some good friends around me who kind of give me advice, like you, Renee. So yeah, it's good to really sit down and think about what you want people to see when they look at your brand or when they hear about it.
So you went from freelance to now you have a team.
Yes.
And how was that transition to scaling up, but also managing people?
I've done it quite slowly as well. Yeah. I find that as much as I love taking risks, I think bringing people into a business is a really important thing, and it changes the dynamic of the company. So I've worked with my event assistant for the last year and a half on one particular project, and then I brought her in to work full time with me. It's all about trust. So I learned to trust her. We know how each other work. She has skills that I do not have, so we're very complementary. She's also much more organized in some ways that I am. You know, she's got a good financial brain. So it's about kind of having people in the company that have complementary skills, that do things that you can't do, which always seems like a cliche, but it's so true, and building up that trust. Also, it's fine to bring people in, and if it doesn't work out, you know, you make sure that you're aware that you need to either let them go or make sure that you're both in a position where you're both happy with the direction of the business. Growing a business, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to kind of hit roadblocks, but actually you've got to be okay with knowing that you're the kind of the essence of your company is going to change, because you've got to start thinking about other people and, you know, their needs and how they see the business and how they want to grow it. The future of Flex Events for me is about making sure that the core purpose of it stays the same, and I bring in people who have the same passion as me but have other skills that I don't have.
It's exciting.
Yeah, we'll see.
And how is the responsibility? Like, it is a mind shift, I guess, from going being responsible for yourself and the projects you're working on to being, like you said, responsible for those that you're employing and their kind of well-being and their fulfillment in the job.
It's really important to know that we're not born as managers. So if you need to do management training, if you need to get advice in that area, I think it's really important. I'm going through a management training process at the moment because, you know, I can work well with my assistant. I might not be able to have the skills to bring on another 5 people.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I think really that for me, making sure that you have feedback constantly from the other side is really important. So 360 feedback. I want to know what I'm doing wrong or where I'm not fulfilling my objectives as a manager, and what do my team need from me? That's super important. But I also want everyone to have fun, because at the end of the day, I want people to come to work and say, I really enjoy working for Flex Events. So it's about making sure that you're aware of getting feedback and constantly growing as a manager and constantly growing as a boss.
Awesome. Yeah. I think everyone's going to want to come and work for you.
I'm going to start putting out applications.
I love that you did that. People, I'm calling you. Okay, cool. What do you love about running a marketing events company?
I love the flexibility. I think that one thing that I'll tell you what I don't love. I don't love always having to be the one where I make the final decision. I think sometimes you get to the stage where you're like, oh, I need someone else to bounce an idea off and kind of help me make that decision. Mm-hmm. But the payoff of having your own company is that you have that flexibility. You get to grow your business. You get to know where it's going to be in 5 years. It's down to you. And that's a huge achievement. So there's massive highs, there's massive lows, but the kind of the possibilities of where your business could go is just amazing. And I think I just love what I do. So I hope that I will continue to love what I do for the next many years.
Yeah. Cool. So how do you fuel your own creativity? Where do you go? What do you do?
Like I said, I do a lot of networking. So I go to a lot of other events to try and get inspiration. I'm in a lot of different networking groups. I also, I love to change the way I work and where I work. So like I said, I work from home Monday and Friday, but I actually go and sit in the park and I work from in nature. I think that's a really important thing to kind of be outside and changing your scene to different environments, whether it be, you know, a cafe or an office space. And that's really good at fueling creativity because you might meet someone and start chatting and that might lead to something. I also love, well, recently I've really got into doing a lot of meditation, which helps with the stress. And I do this thing called a sound bath, where I sit back with a nice blanket and a pillow, and I listen to tuning forks and gongs and this beautiful vibrations, and it really helps settle my mind and it gets me into a very centered place, which sounds very twatty, but actually, no, it's great. I love sound baths. And
I've never heard it termed as a sound bath.
A sound bath. It's like a gong bath. Yeah. So it's like meditation, yeah, but it's just all about sound vibrations. Uh-huh. And our body made up of kind of, you know, proton atoms, everything like that, it kind of hits your body and it has this really feeling of euphoria, but also kind of calmness. Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of meditating at the end of a very busy day. Mm-hmm. I also love working remotely. So for anyone out there who wants to start, you know, being a freelance events and marketing consultant, utilize the fact that you can work from anywhere. Mm-hmm. So if you can work from abroad and work by a pool, great, do it. If you want to work, you know, in the forest, in the woods, go do it. You know, every different setting inspires creativity in different ways. So changing settings, making sure you have something that calms your mind, and also spending time with the people, because that's really important to me, making sure that fuels my creativity.
And is that people that you work with, or you mean loved ones?
So I love spending time, obviously, with loved ones, with friends, partner. But I also think that actually just meeting and working with lots of different people who can give you lots of different things. Mm. I have a lot of friends in the advertising industry who are sounding boards for different reasons. Some people who tell me, you know, if I'm doing something wrong. Some people who are telling me, you know, you need to be doing this. And it's just about getting advice and having that sounding board to know if you're doing the right thing, but also just to have a bit of a chat. And it makes you feel better. And I think it's being surrounded by people just, yeah, helps fuel creativity.
It totally does. Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, when we have chats,
yeah,
I normally leave pumped.
Me too. I do as well.
I'm changing the world now.
You inspire me.
Oh, you inspire me. Okay. What advice would you give to someone considering a career in events and marketing?
I would say for someone who's thinking about starting a career in events and marketing, try out different aspects of it. So there's not just one particular role. You can carve out the type of events and marketing person that you want to be. So at the start of my career, I did lots of different types of events. So I worked in tech production, I worked in event management, conference planning, I did festival production. And doing lots of different types of events means that you're kind of gathering different skills and you're learning what you like and what you don't like. Events are really high pressured, so know that there's a lot of hard graft going in, a lot of long hours, but actually the reward at the end, completing an event and knowing that it's finished and it's wrapped up, is a really nice feeling. We don't all get that in our day jobs, so that's great. And you know, tap into networks, kind of talk to people and understand from them what they would suggest in terms of networking events. There's lots of different groups you can join. There's one actually that I will call out on Facebook called Event Production Group. Mm-hmm. And that basically is 7,000 people in London who go on there and ask advice, anything from where can I, you know, get this type of wood to make a bar to I'm looking to hire an event planner for 3 weeks on this freelance job. So it's just good to start looking mm-hmm. at building your networks quite early on, because that leads to a lot of job opportunities. Mm-hmm.
And do you go on there often? Is that
like... I do, actually. Yeah, I've actually found a few jobs on there right at the start of my career. Yeah, it's good.
I love things that exist like that.
Yes, and it started really, you know, it started with like 3 people and it's grown to 7,000, and it's great. You know, I go on there and say, does anyone know a venue for 100 people in central London, which is always a standard brief for a drinks reception. And, you know, I get 10 responses within 5 minutes. So it's a really strong community, the events community. Yeah.
And it just underlies that thing about having a network. Even though you're not necessarily networking with these people, exactly. It's another way to tap into something.
Exactly. There's lots of opportunities and events. Okay. Yeah.
So what have you got coming up in the next few weeks, months?
So I've got a really busy autumn. So I'm in pre-production phase for 3 back-to-back events, which is great. This is my organisation time.
Yeah.
I'm also working on a creative showcase that I'm going to do in March. So I've got a bit of lead time on that, mm-hmm. but it's going to be around what does the future of events look like? So watch this space. But
is that something you've initiated?
Yes. So it's a creative showcase I want to do for my business, but bring together my supply chain and talk about, you know, what is the future of events? The next 20 years, what is it going to look like? Yeah. We're changing the way that we eat. We're changing the way that we use materials. So that events kind of tap into all those different areas. So let's talk about that. And
that's
so
amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. Yeah. I want to do something creative for me and for the business, and so that's the next step.
And a great way of like putting your business out there and being one of the driving forces in events.
Exactly. I think one of the things that happens if you're an event planner is sometimes you sit in the background and, you know, you're making sure things are ticking by. Mm-hmm. I want to be there at the front talking to people and saying it's good to talk about being an events planner and how that looks and kind of make people hopefully come in on board and feel inspired to start their own business.
It's amazing. I want to come to that.
Oh, well, you're invited.
All right. So coming to the end of our discussion, and something I ask everyone before they leave is there a job or a career in the creative industries you know a little about, you'd like to know more about, I can potentially get them on the podcast, and also another woman you would nominate or recommend that I get in contact to come on Greater Than 11%.
I've always wanted to know what the job of a theatre director entails, because that's super creative, really exciting. You work with so many amazing actors, but kind of backstage, you know, all the crew. I would love to know what that entails. I'd love to do a tour of, you know, one of the big theatres in the West End. And then in terms of a woman that I'd like to see on the podcast, I'm going to call out my sister, because I think she'd be amazing,
cool.
Not just because she's my sister, but she's setting up a co-working space in East London, and she'd be really good. And I think she'd feel inspired to be on this podcast.
So. What's her name?
My sister's name is Hannah Philp.
Cool. I definitely am looking forward to meeting her. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Renee. It's been great.
This podcast is made possible by the support of Hub, an insight-led content agency based in London. A huge thank you to the producers, Pat Murray and James Haverson, our editors, Daniel Clark and Laura Francis, and to Maria Continenza for designing the beautiful artwork.